Our book is Dark Knocked. Our book is Night by Elie Wiesel. And our podcast name is Dark Knocked, period 6. Steven is the group leader. I am the interviewer and advisor, and I'm Dylan.
I'm Wanji, I'm the page manager.
I'm Owen, and I'm the historian.
I'm Kaylee, and I'm the real lifer. And this book, we are 5 teens reading the book Night by Elie Wiesel and discussing our thoughts on the topic.
Okay, so this is our third podcast. We are looking into Night, and we'll start it off. So, the first topic is we're going to talk about the book. So, what were his relationships with people? Like, he had different relationships with everyone, God, his father, which really took the story in a different direction than it was before.
I think one thing that remains seen in every one of those relationships is just that they change from where he was to where he is now. You can see, especially with his relationship to God, he's a devoted servant of God, and then he doubts, even if he's a God, or if he's a benevolent God. And with his father, you can see that he slowly becomes more irritated with his father. And more just wanting to be done with him.
Yeah, it's very interesting how he goes into talking about how he sees things happen, like the rabbi's son, when they were on that march from inner Germany, they saw the rabbi's son. He was speeding up as he saw his father slowing down. Instead of helping out his father, he sped up, and he kind of vowed to himself to never do that to his father, and he kept his promise. And it's just very interesting because at the beginning of the book, the middle, he started fading away from his father by getting switched out of the same grouping and getting mad at his father for things that his father didn't do, and they're just beating him. And it's very interesting that he took this turn just suddenly to just try and save him as long as he could and preserve him until they were freed.
This led to the... You go
found
first.
That interesting, but go ahead.
Oh, is that it? This kind of led to his internal struggle, whether he wants to leave him behind and just fight for himself or keep his dad alive. Which led to some really interesting stuff in the book.
I kind of just wanted to mention the point of his relationship with God, because we can see kind of in the beginning, when nothing bad was happening, his relationship with, you could say God, was at a stronger point, but as you go throughout the book, we can see less and less, he kind of doesn't believe it anymore. He's kind of doubting why things are happening to him, why God would allow things like this. And so clearly it kind of took a downward effect as more time went on in the camp.
The book was kind of the opposite and has opposite ending than you ever expect, because in the really beginning of the book, you kind of see that the relationship with the father and the son were really close. And as it gets to the end, it's farther and further, they kind of they won't have those close relationships as before.
That's like a very interesting idea to see that he gets farther and farther away from his father than you'd think, and it shows how much the Germans divided people at those times, and also he felt like at the end parts, he felt that there was a divide, or you could see a divide in the concentration camps as time went on, and how people started to actually become divided about the idea that God is not there. Because half the people would say that God is still there, and they'd still pray for everyone. They'd still say the Kiddush when someone died. But like people like the rabbi and Elie Wiesel were just so heartbroken from everything that's happened that they just started to split off from the other people and just said, you know, screw it, we can't, like, God's not there anymore. We can tell by how bad he's treating us for sins they didn't even know they did.
More to that point, when you look at people's faith in the book, the people that tend to lose their faith tended to die more quickly because they kind of just gave up. Or the ones who kept it at least had something to believe in, and that kept them going.
That's actually an interesting point, because if you think about it, the people that lost hope kind of were the ones that just didn't care about life anymore, and they were the ones that didn't fear anything at that point. So the ones that did still hold on to something that kept them pushing through kind of had a more positive outlook on things than the ones who just thought everything was, like, that's it.
I was just going to, ask, could you give examples of people who when that has happened? Like, because when I was reading it, like, I felt like the people who had realized that they were on their own seemed to go farther than the people who had faith. Elie, he stayed alive while not having faith, or not, like, at the end, he literally said it, in like his last words that I shall not describe my life during that period. It no longer mattered since my father's death. Nothing mattered to me anymore. So really, he didn't have any hope. He didn't really care about anything because his father was dead, and he still survived. So I was just going to ask if anyone had an idea of, like, give one example of someone that happened to.
I didn't mark the page specifically, but I do remember reading about the one inmate that was really, like, negative, and everyone was trying to encourage him to, like, come on, you can do this. But then he was like, no, I'm just going to die here. And then we don't hear from that person again. So there we can see that he completely, like, gave up.
Yeah, but there's also examples of the opposite of where, like this one, I forget his name, but the violinist, he gave up hope in God. They said that he only cared about, like, his violin and trying to live, and he survived for a long time until the very end where he died.
It's more about them, just people who have the hope were able to move on a lot more quickly as well. And they,
I think I see what you're saying. Like, they had more chance of living and were more able-bodied to, because they had something to believe in. I see what you're saying. Okay, we should probably get into our final topic of today, which is since we're wrapping up the book, what would everyone review the book as? Like, would you recommend it to anyone else?
Yes, actually, this is a re-educated book because, like, Anne Frank's diary, but, like, in the camp, it tells, like, every detail and story during the camp happening, everything happening from everything happening is being written down. And then it will be good for people to read this book and get to know this history.
I think this is one of the best books I've read in a long time, and not because of how it's written, but because of how much detail and like how much you actually think about this after. Because when you first learn about the Holocaust and concentration camps, you think, I wonder what these people went through. I wonder what it was actually like, besides like the stories of people just describing it. But you actually have an inside view from someone that lived in multiple concentration camps and lived through all of it. And you can see the struggles that they went through. But the way the book is written and like how it like describes all of it, it's just a masterpiece.
I've read a book about the Holocaust. I forget the name of it. It's about this girl who escapes to Denmark. But I would say this one, like, because I would say this one is so much better just because of the way it's written. Like, I can feel his emotions. I can understand what he felt. I can see what he sees. And it's just very beautifully written. And so, like, if I were to give it a book rating, I'd give it, like, 9 out of 10. Only missing one only because of, like, how tragic it was. And some people don't like that.
Well, let's more to just, it's a very heavy book in that sense, but it's still a very good book. It's just some very, very gruesome scenes.
Kind of going along with Owen's thought, when I learn things, I know I'm a person that kind of wants to dig deeper. And like the first thing that he mentioned, when you kind of learn about the Holocaust, you do want to learn people's experiences. Like, I know even in middle school, we did have someone come and tell their personal experience. But this book also, like, I would definitely recommend it to someone who wanted to see kind of an inside view of someone exactly who lived through it, and they explained all their emotions, all their thoughts, and their experiences. So that way you can learn from that. And then that can also motivate people to move forward and hopefully make history different.
That's a very good point, because I feel like in history class, that's the whole point of learning about history, is so you don't repeat what happens for the bad stuff, but you do repeat the good stuff that happens. Like if you had needed to do some kind of security in the United States, then you'd have to, if you look back in history, walls don't do too much to help out security. So you wouldn't first think of a wall. Not trying to be political or anything, I'm just saying. Well, we should probably go into our next thing. Have you learned anything from reading this book, and what?
I think the main thing you can learn from this book is just the experiences in a concentration camp. It's not greatly documented or documented in a way that you actually understand.
I feel like, yeah, what Steven was kind of saying, the one most important thing you take away is the experience of the author and how he's like lived through all this and his struggle. And you can see that it was a very bad event that really put people through very, very tough times and very bad times.
I think you can just learn from it, like I was saying before, about the history that you need to learn about so you can't repeat it. And that's a really big factor of what you should learn from it.
I also think another takeaway that you can get from the book in general is that whenever people go through really difficult times, you kind of need something to push you through. Like throughout the book, we kind of see that the main thing was his dad. So like throughout the book, we can see the relationship, how it grows, how it goes through turns, and how they kind of live through the same experience together. So it kind of just taught me that during like events like that, I feel it just honestly is the outlook on how you view things that'll affect the end result.
Well, going to our last question here, what are the instances in this book that you can draw a parallel to today?
I don't think anything can fully recreate the Holocaust and what people went through, but rather that there are things that are somewhat similar and you can relate to, like suffrage of people in other countries. Like I know there's something going on in like, I think Nigeria or somewhere in Africa where like there's corrupt cops doing stuff. I know that there are people that face struggles from authorities that are against them and have bias towards them everywhere. And it's a real problem that people face. And the Holocaust is an example of that, that it got so far that it became the death of 6 million Jews.
I mean, a sort of parallel I can think of, like, it's obviously not going to go up to that standard like Owen is saying, but, like, one could be about quarantine. So the Jews were kind of like, in the Germans' minds, like a virus, and they had to contain the virus by putting them in these camps to work them to death. And so you can kind of compare them to each person to like a COVID person who's in quarantine. They're all alone and can't do too much, but like not the same extent as a Holocaust survivor, but it's sort of the same idea.
Another thing you could connect back to the real world is just family and familial bonds. You can see it with his father and just how close they were. Even though they were drifting apart, they were still there for each other.
I think another overall issue that we can kind of see that started the Holocaust was prejudice or racism. And I mean, that's kind of a thing that's been around since forever, and we still see it nowadays in current day issues. So I think that that plays a huge factor in how nowadays things could, like, if you outstretch it, things could possibly escalate to something as crazy as another Holocaust. But if we're more aware and we teach people about what happened, and if they read books like this of people's experiences, then clearly I feel it would kind of solve the issue and minimize it.
I mean, that like to this date, that's the idea of history teaching is still alive. Like for Holocaust, nothing like that has ever happened since, or I think will never happen until we stop teaching that history.
I think that the Holocaust it happened, but like it doesn't really connect to today's, because like, I mean, it does, but like not like exactly, you know, like there are something bad happening right now, but like it won't be the same as the Holocaust because it was so bad.
Well, that should wrap everything up for our podcast today.